We acknowledge our church stands on Kaurna lands. We honour their elders, past and present. We bring to mind today that the traditional seasons describe our year differently to the system we inherited from Europe. As you see, spring, according to this, hasn't quite started, but we're in the transition period. But of course, with climate change, it has shifted a little too. Indigenous people worked out season change not from a calendar, but from what bugs hatched, what plants appeared, and so on. So it was a bit of a moving feast.
You are listening to Expanding Horizons, the podcast of the Unitarian Church of South Australia, a home of progressive spirituality and free religious thought and action since 1854. Views expressed in these podcasts are those of the speaker and are not intended to represent the position of the church itself or of the worldwide Unitarian Universalist movement. For more information, visit unitariansa.org.au.
I'm going to read this in Portuguese. I only know about 5 words in Portuguese, but I do have a trainee doctor who's Brazilian, and he's taught me how to say this. Acendemos esta chama como lembrete da nossa missão de ser luz do mundo. Em unidade, como os que viram antes de nós, como os que somos uma família espiritual. Que possamos nos comprometer com a construção de uma comunidade já livre para além dos limites geográficos e de crenças pessoais. Que sejamos acolhimento para as pessoas que mais precisam. Amém.
Today's chalice is multilingual to honour the fact that the flower communion is a ritual of Unitarians around the globe. The time of year varies, but it's usually spring and midsummer. In South Australia, midsummer is not the best option, so we're having it now as Kudila transitions to Viltuti. And now we'll have some more of the multilingual chalice lighting from Iran.
We ontsteken deze vlam ter herinnering aan onze missie, om een licht in de wereld te zijn, in verbondenheid met hen die voor ons kwamen, met wie wij een spirituele familie vormen. We zullen ons inzetten voor het bouwen van een gemeenschap van vrijzinnig geloven, dat grenzen en persoonlijk geloof overstijgt. Mogen wij een schuilplaats zijn voor hen die dit het meest nodig hebben. Amen.
And just as we speak many languages, the flowers we bring today are of all species, but all worship is one. Systems of faith are different, but the goals, our goals, can be embraced by all. In our worship today, we celebrate the beauty of our home. We recognize and respect that we're part of one interdependent web of existence to which we all belong, regardless of language, ethnicity, gender, gender preference or faith. All are welcome here. We celebrate also our coming together to make a community of worshippers, each of us bringing ourselves, symbolized in the flower that we will each soon bring to this, our chosen sanctuary. We come to remember and give thanks for the human sacrifice which has enriched our heritage and brought for us the freedoms we enjoy. Let us be grateful for all that's beautiful, for all that's shared, all that's given and received in love. It's now time to gather the flowers. As we recite the litany, I will invite each row to come forward to place your flower in the vase. Please wear your mask. Please rise for the gathering of the flowers and the recitation of the litany, and I will begin by putting my flowers in first. Oh, and if anyone needs to collect a flower, there are some in the vase in the foyer. Let us give thanks for all those things which unite us with each other and with the order of the universe, for those bonds of loyalty and affection which unite us with our family and our friends.
For the love and support which you have from those nearest and dearest of us, we lift up our hearts in gratitude.
For the fellowship which comes from our shared faith and ideals. For the wider fellowship which springs from our common humanity, a fellowship which transcends all boundaries of race and culture and creed, uniting all humankind in a community far outreaching the things which divide us from each other. These flowers which we have brought represent the treasury of our united devotion, gathered from the particular soil of our separate lives. Together they are a token of that beauty which can redeem and transform our lives and the lives of all people. Infinite Spirit of Life, we ask thy blessings on these, thy messengers of fellowship and love. May they remind us amidst diversities of knowledge and of gifts to be one in desire and affection and devotion to thy holy will. May they also remind us of the value of comradeship, of doing and sharing alike. That was the Flower Communion Prayer by Norbert Čapek. We're having some readings from the Bible today because they were traditional in the flower service. Norbert Čapek, who invented this, was born in 1870, and readings from the Christian Bible were very much a feature of the earliest of worship, and then things changed. But we'll hear more about that when I tell his story. The first reading is from Matthew. Therefore I say unto you, be not anxious for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not life more than food, and the body the raiment? Behold the birds of the heaven, they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns. Your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are not ye more of value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a cubit, one cubit, unto the measure of his life? And why are ye so anxious concerning raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. And the second is from Ecclesiastes. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. In today's service, it's a time to remember the man who gave us the flower service to celebrate the beauty of flowers, transient and beautiful as they are. After the service, we return to the present, to our worries and responsibilities, but hopefully we will take with us the notion that there is time for just sniffing the roses in the midst of our chaotic and ever-changing world. Now, I would invite the children today to stay for the interlude. It's by a very, very interesting composer, and then you can depart for Sunday Club after that and before the address.
Thank you.
You probably noticed the ending of that piece is a bit different to how piano pieces usually end. And if you have a look at the picture of the man there, that's Astor Piazzolla. And can you see what he's playing?
No, it's a bandoneon.
And his teacher was Nadia Boulanger, who was famous for teaching Gershwin and Aaron Copland and Vaughan Williams and practically every composer of the time in Europe, it seems. And he was too embarrassed to tell her that he played the bandoneon. And he did all the lessons the same as all the others. He learned all about counterpoint, and he learned all about scales and transposing, all sorts of stuff. And he wrote pieces for the piano. And everything he wrote, she'd say, "I can't hear you. I can't hear you." And eventually he confessed to being a bandoneon player and also loving the tango. And she encouraged him to write tango, which was a great encouragement to just be yourself. Okay, kids, time for Sunday Club.
Can I just say that's one of the most intense pieces of music I have ever played in all my years of playing. It's just unbelievable.
Yes, intensity doesn't mean loud, does it? And while on the subject of musical criticism, the first piece I thought was so good for our spring because of the dynamic range. I mean, our spring is a wild time of year, isn't it? We have storms and we have beautiful days like the day before yesterday. It's just the whole thing. And I thought that piece said it all. Now today, I'm going to tell the story of Norbert Čapek. Every person is an embodiment of God, and in every one of us, God struggles for higher expression. Religion can never die because human beings cannot be but religious, regardless of the form of their religion. Religion should therefore, before else, provide that inner harmony, which is a precondition of strong character, good health, joyful moods, and vigorous creative life. These words were spoken by Norbert Čapek, born 1870 and founder of the modern Unitarian Church in Czechoslovakia and creator of the Flower Communion, which we are celebrating today. He was born into the Catholic faith but abandoned that by the age of 18. He'd become somewhat disillusioned with the behaviour of the priests. He'd been an acolyte since age 10 and he also disliked their cynical attitudes. He was a religious idealist from the get-go. Now, the Protestant variant that was making inroads in Czechoslovakian society at the time was the Baptist Church, and Čapek became a Bible distributor and a Baptist evangelist, founding almost a dozen churches between Budapest and the Ukraine. He studied the Moravian Brethren, who valued the spiritual life above any teaching or dogmatics, and he wrote Fragments of the History of Persecuted Christians in 1903. He was inspired by the free Christianity that existed prior to the enforcement of Roman Catholicism as the state religion in Moravia. The church's task, he felt, must be to place truth above any tradition, spirit above any scripture, freedom above authority, and progress above all reaction. He had boundless energy, and apart from founding churches, writing books, marrying and fathering 8 children, he published journals, and his articles on topics ranging from psychology to politics attracted unfavourable attention from the German authorities. And in 1914, he and his wife Marie and their 8 children fled to the United States. In the United States, he became editor of a Czech language newspaper and served as pastor of the First Slovak Baptist Church in New Jersey. Widowed shortly after his arrival in the US, he met and married another Czech expatriate, Maja Oktovic, in 1917. She'd been born in Western Bohemia, moved to the States when she was about 19, and she was a bright bunny. She went to the University of Columbia, and she was working in the New York Public Library when Čapek met her. Now, while in the United States, Čepek faced two heresy trials at the accusation of Slovak Baptist ministers in attempts to expel him from the Baptist Association. Pursuing an increasingly liberal religious perspective, Norbert resigned as a Baptist minister in 1919. He and Meyer discovered Unitarianism, and in 1921 they joined the First Unitarian Church of Essex County in Orange, New Jersey. Together they decided to bring Unitarianism back to their homeland, newly independent after World War I. The couple returned to Prague in 1921. The new Unitarian congregation they formed in Prague, called the Liberal Religious Fellowship, grew rapidly, and soon they purchased a large building dubbed Unitaria at the foot of Charles Bridge. The early worship services generally consisted of lectures. The minister wore no robe, no vestments. The congregation dispensed with elaborate rituals. They dispensed with the singing of hymns, ornate decoration, and formal or prescribed prayers. Now, some of the members of the congregation felt church lacked a spiritual dimension. So it was in response to this complaint that in June 1923, Čepek created the Flower Celebration, also known as the Flower Communion. Each member would bring a flower to church, where it was placed in a large central vase. At the end of the service, each would take home a different flower. This symbolized the uniqueness of each individual and the coming together in communion to share this uniqueness. Now, Meyer Čepek was ordained as minister in 1926. With financial help from the American Unitarian Association and the British and Foreign Unitarian Association, Norbert and Meyer renovated a medieval palace for their meeting space. In 1930, the Unitarian Church was officially recognized by the Czech government, and prior to the Second World War, the Prague congregation was the biggest Unitarian church in the whole world. The symbol of the chalice came from there, and many of our Unitarian hymns were written by Čepek. So it might have started like Melbourne with lectures, but it developed the spiritual content and style that we're more familiar with here in Adelaide. Some of his hymns we sang here before COVID put an end to congregational singing. Mother Spirit, Father Spirit, where are you? In the sky song, in the forest sounds your cry. What to give you, what to call you, what am I? Mother Spirit, Father Spirit, take our hearts, take our breath and let our voices sing our parts. Take our hands and let us work to shape our art. And there are a couple of other verses, but I'll spare you them. Although he was invited to return to the United States during World War II, Čepek chose to remain in Europe. In 1939, Meyer went to the US to raise funds for relief efforts in Czechoslovakia. She also served as minister in the North Unitarian Church in New Bedford, Massachusetts, from 1940 to 1943. In March 1941, Norbert and his daughter were arrested by the Gestapo, who confiscated his books and sermons. He was charged with listening to foreign broadcasts. That was a capital crime. And after being held in Pankrac prison, he was taken in 1942 to Dachau concentration camp, where he was imprisoned in the Priester block. He was tortured and eventually gassed late in 1942, and officially his death was recorded as heart and circulation failure caused by a stroke. When news of his death reached the United States, the American Unitarian Association president, Frederick May Elliott, wrote, "Another name is added to the list of heroic Unitarian martyrs by whose death our freedom has been bought. Ours is now the responsibility to see to it that we stand fast in the liberty so gloriously won." The International Association for Religious Freedom placed a plaque in the camp. This is after the war, of course, in his memory. Now, Norbert felt that the traditional Christian communion service with bread and wine was unacceptable to many of the congregation because they were of Roman Catholic background and they had a fairly strong reaction against that faith. So he turned to the native beauty of their countryside for elements of a new communion. He wanted it to be genuine to them. The flower communion and the story of Chapek's sacrifice has become inspirational for Unitarians around the world. It's easy to see how it went to the States because of Maya, but then the English also adopted it. And of course, I think we got it originally via England from the GA ministers that came and served here. The sunflower is the Czech national flower. The Prague Unitarian Church is no longer the largest fellowship in the world. There are fellowships in America of over 2,500. There are probably a few more fellowships under 100, but there are many, many over 100 in the States. Now, the Prague Church is more unfortunate than we are in the sense that it can only meet virtually at the moment. Despite this wretched pandemic, may we still find the world to be sometimes so beautiful and life so rich and meaningfully shared that we shall want this to be true more often for more people everywhere. I'm going to close this address with the words from the great Indian poet Rabindranath Tagore. God grows weary of great kingdoms, but never of little flowers. And a special thanks for those of you who brought the little flowers for our bunch today. And we now come to that time for you to prepare to depart, and you will now stand if you're able and prepare to come forward row by row to collect a flower from our communal vases. And the idea, of course, is that you collect one different to the one that you brought. Don't be in any hurry, because the longer you take, the longer Margaret will have to play. So that's what we call a win-win situation. Within our hands, we hold the resurrection of the world. Transient and imperfect, these blossoms are still gifts of infinite value, like ourselves. Too often, we seek permanence and perfection, resisting change, blind to our shortcomings. We become caught up in the petty issues and routine activities of our daily lives. But may these flowers serve as a reminder as they allow themselves to open unto the heavens. For despite their imperfections, they still have integrity. And though they are transient, they contain the seeds of transcendence like ourselves. Let us then also open ourselves to mystery and wonder, fretting not about small mishaps, or even, for now, great misfortune. For the resurrection of the world is at our fingertips. The resurrection lies within us. Let us keep a moment of silent appreciation together. Please stand for the benediction if you're able. May the love that makes life beautiful, the reverence that makes life holy, and the truth that makes us free, lead us onwards together into a deepening and growing communion of life. Those were the words of Jacob Trapp. We light this flame as a reminder of our mission of being a light of the world, in unity with those who came before us, with whom we are a spiritual family. We shall be able to commit to the building of a community of free faith beyond the geographic limits and personal beliefs. May we be a shelter to all who need it the most. Amen.
Well, we hope you enjoyed this Expanding Horizons podcast. These podcasts are the intellectual property of the presenter. They can be used only with the express permission and appropriate acknowledgement of the presenter and the podcast used in its entirety. This permission can be obtained by emailing UnitarianSA@bigpond.com. Please feel free to leave a comment or visit us on Facebook or Twitter by searching SA Unitarians.